Miss the conversation? Find all the interviews in the podcast section on capetalk.co.za.
And if you want to find out more about Sharon and Sharon's Cafe, just search Sharon's Cafe on your social media platforms. That is her handle on Instagram, Twitter. You'll find her, and you can, of course, go taste at the Palms. But it's now coming up for 9 minutes to 12 o'clock. Lester Kivett standing in for Kino Kamis over the next few days as he takes a nice break. We all deserve a little bit of break this time of the year. But what's been quite weighing heavy on us over the last 8 months of lockdown, what we've seen over the last few years, is the proliferation of fake news. We all know about it. We all know about misinformation. But what do we do to insulate ourselves? Can we insulate ourselves from fake news? And how do we find out in a modern age where we don't just get our news sources from traditional news sources, obviously social media? How do we make sure what we are reading, internalizing, what do we do to ensure that is in fact accurate? Alistair Fairweather is the founder at Plain Speak, joins me now. Alistair, thanks so much for joining us. What we've come to realize is that no one is immune in the age of fake news. If we look back 4 years ago, fake news was the topic of discussion when it came to the 2016 US presidential election. Now it's as ubiquitous, it's everywhere as the air that we breathe, even here in South Africa in November 2020. Definitely.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is that people need to realize is, regardless of what your political views are, whether you've got a high school education, whether you've got a master's degree, humans are prone to fake news. Mm. We've all fallen for fake news. Literally, I can say that without exception. Anyone on WhatsApp or Facebook has at some point interacted with and taken away something which is fake, or at least distorted, and agreed with it and thought about it and not filed away in their memory banks. And that's because we humans are very prone to cognitive biases. Mm-hmm. And one of those, I mean, there are a whole lot, there are dozens, but one of the most telling here is confirmation bias. What confirmation bias does is it programs us genetically right at the brain level to find things which confirm our beliefs and to ignore things which don't. So if you imagine that only the Trump supporters are the fake news people, or if you're a Trump supporter, you imagine that the leftists are all the ones who have fake news. Or in South Africa, if you're an EFF supporter, mm-hmm. and you think that, or a DA supporter, unfortunately, we're all prone to it.
Mm. I'm quite interested to know, Alistair, in terms of, are we media literate? We all can pick up a newspaper, but if we're reading the same newspaper every single day, that's a problem. I may be going against my own commercial interests, but if you're listening to one radio station every single day, and that's the only viewpoint you're getting, or reading only one online source, that is not necessarily healthy in terms of engaging yourself to maybe even a contrary argument, which you may not like, but it is helping you think that there may be another side.
Yes, I mean, I think that a diversity of media, a diet with a diversity of media, just like a diet of in real life of food, is a good idea. And the thing is, what's happened is a few things. One, media has become much more polarized, less so in South Africa, but particularly in Western Europe and in the States. There now are very, very highly polarized media houses. You can see that with the likes of Fox News and then MSNBC. You see it in France. You see it in England. And so that means that if you're reading just the one side, you are only getting a distorted view. And the other thing is that technology has changed much more quickly than society has been able to change, to absorb this. To a lot of people, the stuff they see on their Facebook feed is indistinguishable in many respects from what they might see on the News 24 or the Wall Street Journal or et cetera, et cetera. And they have very little distinction between those. Now, it doesn't mean that they're lacking in intelligence. It just means that they trust the people who post on Facebook because those people have been telling them things that they like to hear for X number of years. And so our ability to think and the time required to think critically about everything that you see on a social media platform given how much stuff is coming at you all the time. I mean, WhatsApp is the worst to me. I use WhatsApp every day. It's a great platform. But if you get something on a WhatsApp group from people that you know yourself intimately, you're very likely to take it seriously and to believe it. And that doesn't mean that it's real. It doesn't mean that it's true. It might be partially true, but the bits that are untrue might be might give you an idea about something important, a political event happening in South Africa, the economy, the state of the world, that changes your opinion enough that next time you vote or next time you shop or next time you have a discussion with someone, you know, you come from a perspective which makes that interaction harmful.
I had an ethical conundrum this past weekend, and we all know of news or fake news, or those WhatsApp messages that are meant to scare. And one came my way that had a government logo on, and it said that particularly the area that I'm from, it raised the alarm of increased infections in COVID-19. Of course, I would want my parents and my family to adhere to that. So I thought, you know, maybe if this isn't true, maybe it will still, you know, it has a positive outcome, so to say. I decided not to send it because then I thought, but I do not want my parents and family to venture out willy-nilly and still observe whatever distance. Yes. I thought, but I'd just be doing the exact same thing that misinformation and harmful fake news does by causing alarm, by sowing unnecessary uncertainty. And then the next time comes when a real harmful message comes along, I have no leg to stand on by saying, but don't share that.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think it's really the responsibility for combating this stuff rests with all of us. We all need to take a few breaths. So if we see something, you know, the fake news that really works is the fake news that we really agree with. But you think, obviously, I knew that was the case, and now I can prove to all my friends on the other side that this is exactly what I thought it was, and X, Y, and Z, or I can prove to my sewing group or my book club or my whatever it is, that actually this is what's really going on in the world. And really what we all need to do is take a few breaths and go and look. We've actually got some very good fact-checking organizations in South Africa now. There's the Real 411 is a very good one. The Digital Forensic Lab, that's an OSS organization, and we've got a really good guy here called John LaRue. You can follow him on Twitter. And these are guys who pick up on some quite serious disinformation as opposed to misinformation. I think it's also worth understanding that disinfo with D is much more dangerous. That is when someone has intentionally manufactured something outrageous, racism, theft, the theft of an election. So all of the stuff that Donald Trump's currently sharing is disinformation. It's intended to make people think something actively which isn't true. It's different from misinformation, where someone has made a mistake or misinterpreted something, and they're sharing it with good intentions. In both cases, you need to do the same thing, which is double check, find a variety of media sources that you trust, and then go and check: has this thing been reported by anyone who has skin in the game, who has a job that they need to go back to, you know, who has a paycheck that relies on them not lying? You know, a proper media organization. If those people have credibility, it also means they have accountability. Some guy on WhatsApp, some person in America on Facebook, they have no accountability. And I mean, that's a critical test for me.
Alistair Fairweather is the founder of